everybody, welcome to South Geek News for October 29, 2025, where we break down the tech news from a Southern perspective and give you some very strong opinions along the way. I'm Donovan.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Samuel.
All right, guys, as we normally do, we'll take a few minutes. I'll start with Sam. What have you been doing for the last 2 weeks?
Besides sending in my mixer for repair, hence why I sound different. Since it's an audio show, figured I'd let people know. That's why. So I did something silly over the past couple of weeks. I joined Sora.
Okay.
Because I had a friend that has codes. So I got in.
I mean, there's a free tier, right?
No. The way Sora works is you cannot get inside of it unless you have an invite.
If I'm already a paid member of ChatGPT.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go there and it says enter invite code. Okay, cool.
And it essentially is a silly thing that you do just for entertainment purposes. Like, this isn't, some people are crying on the mountaintops, this is the beginning of the end. And I'm like, no, this is a bunch of silly videos and you need to understand that that's what this is designed to do. Calm down. So it's amazing what you can do as a pop culture nerd. I have tested its limits because there are certain things where it'll go, that's copyright. We're not going to let you do that in a video. And then there's other things where it goes, that's totally fine. We'll let you do that. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have this back and forth where you figure, okay, I can't make references to James Bond. I can make references to Doctor Who. You know, it's like you have to figure out what pop culture references you can actually make that it's going to allow you to pull off. But it's insane how it works.
I've seen examples of it.
And if you put yourself in there, your cameo, as they call it, the process is wild because all you do to put yourself in there is aim it at your face, obviously. read three numbers. Three, not a sentence. You're not pulling the old Mission Impossible where the chip thing, they had to read a paragraph. You're not doing that. Three numbers. Mm-hmm. And it gets your voice down from those three numbers. Wow. And then you just rotate your head to the right, rotate your head to the left. There you go. Now you're in. It's insane. You don't have to do that. You can also just do prompts that just come up with random things and stuff like that. My favorite function in it, though, is the remix function. So you can see someone's video that they've done with a silly thing, and then you can hit the remix button and go, make it this. Mm-hmm. And so it's like a retweet, but instead it's a remix of whatever the concept is. And those are always the funniest ones because it shows a large thread of them.
Yeah.
So you can just scroll through every single iteration of that video of, someone made it this, now this, now this, now this. Like, for a while, there was one going around where it was historical figures doing the Saturday Night Live monologue. And it was ridiculous, the people that they had going.
I think I've actually seen some of that. Philip DeFranco and Alex Perlman, I think, is doing a new podcast called Crashing Out. And last week, after Sora, the new Sora was introduced, Alex was going through and showing some of the videos to Philip. And he was pointing out, he said, you can kind of figure out that they are AI. And he said, for the fact that they do put a watermark, he said, but to be fair, the watermark is easily removed. And he said, there are some of these that you really, really, really have to study before you can figure out that they're not real. So this technology, you know, it may not be the sky is falling, but as we always say, this is the worst this technology will ever be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. It has been interesting seeing little instances of people who don't know what Sora is and it being posted in other places. I'll give you an idea of what age range those people are in, so I'm not being a jerk. But they're going, look at this footage of you. Like, it's like, no. This was a generated thing, and everyone knows it's a joke except for you. It reminds me back in the day of, I had the unfortunate duty to tell some of my family members what an onion story was. because they didn't realize what the Onion was, and they were going on a massive political screed going, this is what this party is doing. And I was like, no, they're not. This is satire. Calm the hell down. Like, and it was not the party you think it is. It was the ones that say they're calm. So I'll just leave it there.
That still doesn't narrow it down.
It really doesn't now. That's true.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, that's what I've been doing. I've been having fun creating little crazy things. Like the other day, I played a board game with my friends where the whole point is you getting to a spaceship before everyone else loses oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So I was playing with two other friends. So I had Sora, because I won, make a video of me getting into the airlock while their bodies were still floating in space. Like, it was... I've done a wrestling entrance, because of course I have.
Of course you have.
You know, things like that. It's fun. It's a silly thing. And there's a really weird running gag that the whole community is doing. I thought this was just a Diamond Club thing, and then I figured out it wasn't, about a fictional restaurant called Handfuls that serves you gravy in your bare hands. You know, it is. So it's how the internet works. Jokes like that, that Donovan usually goes as, those are stupid. I love those. So it's,
he's not wrong. I say those are stupid.
The look on your face told me that, but yeah, it's, and I adore those because utter existential nonsense are things that I absolutely adore and keep me going through the day. So
I'm just existential.
This thing is built on it. So yeah, that's why I've been loving it, because you can make these ridiculous things. And if you have no talent like me, you can still do that. So,
and nary a care in the world that every time he generates a video, an entire lake dries up.
And all the fish.
And all the fish.
How many fish are lost every day due to Sora?
Specifically to Sam and Sora. Yeah, exactly.
Murderer.
Unless you plan on eating those fish.
They're in Nebraska. Probably.
That's true. Could be. Well, that's cool. That's cool. That's the thing. I have gone only as far as doing image generation inside of ChatGPT. I've just not really cared about making any kind of video stuff. I mean, Google's whatever the hell they've got now that can do it. And then, of course, Sora, and then now the new Sora. And I'm just like, I don't care. None of this stuff interests me. I don't know why. It just doesn't. And I'm glad other people, I'm glad, Sam, you're enjoying it.
Video probably wouldn't have for me if it weren't the framing of it being a fun little social network thing. Does that make sense? Like, if it was just making a video, I probably wouldn't have done anything with it either. But like, being able to do the things I'm doing with, and like having friends be like, oh, that's stupid, you know, in a good way, you know, so it was more the social aspect of it that drew me in than the, oh, we're making videos. Cause I wouldn't have cared either at that point. So
I got you. So is that it?
Yeah,
pretty much. All right. What about you, Ben?
Short story. My past 2 weeks are a short story. I'm not about to tell you a short story.
Okay.
I get up and I do some work, take care of some tickets, eventually eat some lunch, take a poop, and then kind of recycle, go to bed, get up, do it all over again. But we didn't have soccer this past weekend, so.
Wait a minute.
We didn't have
to. We have sound effects!
No, really, nothing. Oh, I switched to Linux.
Oh, that's
my
right.
My main desktop, I switched to Linux.
Did you ever figure out the Windows VM sluggish issue?
I moved it to a NAS, a volume on the NAS backed by SSDs, and it was 100 times faster.
Imagine that.
What? I could have just run it locally on the desktop.
That's true.
And it would have all been
SSD.
But
yeah, that's true.
I may have to pass my scanner to it. I tried once, got interrupted and couldn't. Continue troubleshooting the document scanning app that comes with.
Which Ubuntu. Version of Linux did you use?
Ubuntu.
24 or something?
2404.
Yeah. Okay.
So I have a scanning issue to work out, but the printer works. Everything else works. Discord is native.
Yeah.
Obsidian is native. Spotify.
Years and years and years ago, this was in the late 90s. I tried to, think about the hardware at the time and whatever version. It was probably Red Hat, but I tried to go the Linux route.
Mm-hmm.
And I got everything loaded up. And then my cousin calls me and he's like, can you scan documents for me? And I had not quite gotten to that point where I could figure out how the scanning would work.
Mm-hmm.
So I had spent all that time that I think it was probably a Saturday getting Linux working and everything else except the scanner. And so then I had to turn around and blow it away and do a clean install Windows just so I could scan something for him. And quite honestly, back then it was like, as soon as I got back into Windows, because this would have been Windows 98, probably 98 SE.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like I just put on a warm overcoat and I was really comfy because I was back in something I knew because Linux was completely foreign to me at the time. And, you know, of course, it was nowhere near the level of capabilities that it is today. But so you pretty much think you're going to stick that with the Linux desktop and just VM, remote into a VM.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few things I have to have Windows for. I have my 3D CAD software, Autodesk.
Yeah.
Some of my RMM tools need a native office because I've got to troubleshoot documents for people sometimes.
I know, right?
Otherwise, everything else is web-based.
Yeah, and you don't play any games.
No.
Which I think, because the only game that I actually re-upped my subscription just through the holidays, but the only one I play is World of Warcraft, and I believe it works on Linux.
It probably does.
It works on Mac, and I think it'll work on, I don't think it natively, but it'll work through Wine or that other one that's very popular. I think it starts with a P or
Winboat?
No, not that one. Hmm. But anyway, I think it's the one that Steam is behind because they...
Yeah, I've seen the...
Yeah.
I've seen it before. I can't remember what the name is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I really dislike... There's certain things about Windows 11 that I do like the being able to have tabs in File Explorer. I use the crap out of that because you can do tabs on Finder on Mac OS. You can never do tabs in Windows 10. So instead of having to have two File Explorer windows open, I just have one window but with multiple tabs, which is the way I manage stuff. So, but... Quite honestly, Explorer will just hesitate for no apparent reason.
Mm-hmm.
Windows 11 systems are just, I don't know what they did, but they have not solved the core issues that are in that damn operating system.
Yeah. From my experience, it would freeze. The search was extremely slow.
Yeah.
But it also wouldn't refresh. Sometimes you'd write a file to that folder and it would just immediately pop up as you view that folder.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I would download a folder or I downloaded an item and I would have my downloads window open at that same time and it would never show up.
It wouldn't show up, yeah.
And I'd manually refresh the window and, I've been waiting 5 minutes for
nothing. I'd have an issue, not exactly like that, but let's say I right-click and tell it I want to create a new folder.
Mm.
And when you create a new folder, it stays highlighted so that you can rename it. I'll start to type to rename it and the damn thing will refresh and now I've got new folder.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing? And then I have to right click on it or just click on it like twice and then I can rename it. But I'm like, what is the system doing that it won't let me finish this process?
Well, because first it creates that new folder and that new folder displays at the bottom of the window, the bottom of the list.
Oh, and then it resorts.
And then it goes, you don't want to change that name. I'm going to go ahead and sort it. So you're stuck at the bottom of this list.
Yes.
And your new folder now has to be found in the ends.
Yeah, in the ends.
Yeah. I've done that before. Like, I just created a...
Yeah.
What the shit?
Where's it at?
Mm-hmm.
I just named it. I was pretty sure I named it and hit enter, and it didn't take. And then you're right. In the end, new folder with today's date and the timestamp.
Yep.
All right. So that's pretty much it for you. Same shit, different day.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much for me too. Just continuing to replace PCs, you know, with Windows 11, the aforementioned Windows 11, and did a couple more of those for one client. Did one for another client Monday. I imaged their system over the weekend and had to fight with it for a little bit, but I finally got it. I think they're happy and hoping I can keep them as a client. Because I was just asked for the contract because the person that asked me for it is the person who is still there and is trying to make sure that I don't get shit canned with the other vendors that have already been shit canned. So we will see. We will see.
Yeah, you just got to hope they're smart.
I hope so. All right.
Because if not, we're going to talk a lot of shit about them.
You ever thought about, I'll ask you this question, get your response, and then we'll move on to the stories. Have you ever had a situation where you've had a client like that who's decided to move their business elsewhere, or maybe they got bought out, and then the new company's like, well, we're going to use XYZ. I need you to give them all of the information that you've got.
Nope.
Okay. I know the right thing to do, of course, is to provide them with everything that you can. The pissed off side of me is like, you're on your own, bucko.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen a lot of stories on Reddit that cover this kind of thing. Now, so I always think about what I would do if I were approached in that. You know, if a client calls and says, we're turning over to whoever. And
whoever, yeah.
You need to give them the documentation, or they need, you just sit down and talk with them. Well, first, that time would be billable.
Mm-hmm.
And after the turnover, ties are severed.
Mm-hmm.
You don't call me back in 2 weeks and you forgot something.
Right.
I gave you everything I had. I answered all your questions. Ta-ta.
Exactly. Exactly. Because that's too much like training your replacement, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And like
you
a
have
corporate.
To do it for money.
Yeah.
It's got to be worth it to them because they don't want to pay you anymore.
Right. Well, and that's what I got to looking at. And you know, I was like, I know how much they pay me per year and what they pay me per year. If you look at what I would speculate down here in this area, that if you were to hire a full-time IT person and pay them what you should pay them, their starting salary is going to be somewhere around $65,000 to $75,000. All right. Not fully loaded. Fully loaded is probably going to be about $90,000 or $100,000.
Right.
Insurance and all of that. Well, the way I've always done my stuff is the way I've tried to sell it is I'm half the cost of a full-time person.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to understand that at least in my world, and probably your world too, if they think they're going to bring someone in cheaper than what they're paying now and get the same level of service, they are sadly mistaken.
Yeah,
it doesn't work that way.
And they are welcome to go against any kind of guidance I've given.
Yeah.
It won't hurt my feelings at all. I just, you know, it could be weeks, months, even years.
Mm-hmm.
There will likely come a day when you get to say, I fucking told you so. You can stand next to the crater that used to be their company and go, they got you, didn't you?
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Let's move on to some actual tech news. Since none of you yahoos wanted to actually put anything, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Hey, I think this is going to be enough.
Yeah. I was trying to hold back. All right. So first up, we've already talked about AI and Sora and all of that. So there's an article over on Gizmodo that's talking about clickbait gives AI models brain rot. So what they were trying to do is these researchers were testing what they called the LLM brain rot hypothesis, which showed that feeding AI models junk internet data causes measurable cognitive decline. Who would have thunk it?
Wow.
The study was by Texas A&M, UT Austin, and Purdue. They trained models on a mix of quality and, quote, junk data, short viral posts and a clickbait content. They tested with the following models: Llama 3.8b, Qwen 2.57b/0.5b, and Qwen 3.4b. The results showed that all models had reasoning and contextual understanding declines when trained on low-quality data. Llama 3 was most effective. It lost reasoning ability, became less safe, and even developed dark traits like narcissism and psychopathy. That's what Sam's going to have to do. Now he's going to have to start psychoanalyzing AIs.
Hey, they probably pay the bill.
Probably would. Tell me, Llama, I'm sensing that you've had some issues with your father. Anyway, so
make me sound like a psychologist. How dare you, sir?
I know, I'm just picking on you.
People in psychology and counseling will get the joke I just made. Everyone else will go, what the heck was that? But the people out there, they'll get it. That's
so the smaller model, QIN34B, handled junk data slightly better, but or still showed degradation. And the more junk data that was used, the likelier the models were to, quote, stop thinking and give incorrect answers. So mitigation methods, well, you can do data filtering, fine tuning, couldn't fully undo the damage. And the researchers warned that more data and better models, quality matters more than quantity. So the conclusion is, just like humans, it's the same for AI. You are what you eat.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Garbage in, garbage out.
I mean, that was essentially my take when I was reading this, that I saw the last line and I went, there's my take, the last line there. Because these things are trained on stuff. If you train it on garbage, you're going to get garbage, you know, but that's.
Because, yeah, you know, we started running into a problem even earlier this year where they had basically had run out of information on the internet to train the AIs. So they were literally paying people to create new content to train the AIs. Because the AIs were basically becoming the snake eating its tail. Mm-hmm. You know, they generate, because, you know, you generate content based on our queries, and that stuff gets out, and then the AIs are scraping that stuff and then training back on it again. And so it's like, you need fresh meat, basically.
Yeah, but after the models ingest everything and they train on it,
mm-hmm.
they're supposed to give us data.
I know.
How have we run out of things to feed it and we're not done training?
I don't understand that.
Because everything we have, less than everything we have,
yeah.
is what I'm trained on. And I know how many fucking R's are in strawberry.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, I know.
If we've run out of things to feed it,
mm-hmm.
it's not training properly, I think.
I would agree. I would agree. What I thought was funny, too, is Llama is Facebook's Meta.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was the worst.
It can't.
Just look at Facebook.
It can't eat its own dog food.
Just look at Facebook.
It can't handle.
I told you guys.
Facebook.
Yeah.
I think I've told you guys before, anytime someone at the previous, well, now previous job that I was at, the factory job, anytime they would start with, I saw on Facebook, my brain would immediately shut off.
Yeah.
I didn't even get the rest of the sentence out before I was like.
I mean, I love my wife to pieces, but she'll be like, is this real or not? And I'm like, is it on Facebook? And so I'll get up and I'll go around and I'll look at it. And then if I have any questions, I start doing my own lookups on actual bona fide news sources. And I'm like, well, it's partially real.
Might need to check Wikipedia.
I know, right? Wow. There's nothing wrong with Wikipedia, okay? Jesus.
Do we have to cover that, or are we going to add 2 hours to the show
I'll cut it short. We can cover it.
It's shit. That's it.
I've never used it. But at the same time, I'm just going to say everything I was going to say after we read about the article, but I've never used Grokopedia.
Mm-hmm.
It's only like 2 days old.
Yeah.
Has
less than 1 million articles.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm not sitting down for at least 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, and
Wikipedia's got just a little under 8 million, I think.
Yeah. Also, don't care. I remember seeing Elon, and probably just Elon, calling out Wikipedia for being slanted the wrong way or some shit. And he was the only one mentioned in Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And I thought, wait, that's not the Wikipedia I remember, because the one I remember, I can edit if it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And if I put something up wrong, it'll probably be corrected by somebody who knows better.
Mm-hmm.
So, not sure.
That's still the case.
Yeah. So.
But he's trying to claim there's bad actors doing
never
that.
Never gave any examples.
Nope. None.
He just made the claim, and I never heard an example. I was like, well,
yeah,
I'm going to still give my $2.75 to Wikipedia every year when they ask for it.
I've actually given them.
The company donates $100 a year.
I've actually given them 25 one year because that was pretty much all I could afford at that time. I probably need to give them some more.
$104 because I got they ask you to cover the credit card fee.
Oh yeah,
the processing fee. I'm like, okay.
Can I philosophically say something?
Sure.
Because we have humans, and I don't know if Crocopedia is, because I haven't dug too deep. I only found out about its existence this morning when I was listening to DTNS. So that's how fresh I am with it. I didn't even know it existed until then. But if it's also being edited by humans,
it's not.
Then, okay. Because the one thing we have to watch out about humans, and this is me being a little devil's advocate, is we all have biases. And if you say you don't have a bias, you're lying. You know, I hate to say that, but you are blind to your own biases because psychologically, we all have biases.
That's I know we have them.
As human beings. Yeah. So some of us are louder with our biases than others. Donovan! Kidding. Essentially, like, we all have biases. So not in the way he's talking about it, but in a way, you're going to find that stuff on there. So it's important to, I mean, there's a reason why most college projects and stuff go, find us a source, don't use Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Like, they'll immediately do that because that was edited by a bunch of humans, you know, and it wasn't reviewed.
In the dictionary, written by, the dictionary and encyclopedia is written by fucking robots.
But yeah. Essentially, that's the only thing that I would say about it is that Wikipedia, none of these websites like this are completely pure. Let's put it that way. But yeah, otherwise, if it's being trained on this stuff, then it's going to have those biases in there too, because it's being trained on something that came from humans.
According to what Musk said, the Grokopedia is 100%. Every article is written by artificial intelligence. It's written by Grok. And some people have actually discovered that there are entries that are 100% duplicate ripoffs of the same article on Wikipedia.
Yeah, I saw somebody post that and said it was verbatim.
Yeah.
And they can't do anything about it because they're Creative Commons. That's the thing that Tom pointed out this morning. Or not Tom, but anyway.
Yeah. Yep. And anyway, anybody that's got any damn sense about them should know not to use Grokopedia. I mean, and I trust Wikipedia probably to about a 90% level.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have never of all the times that I have looked stuff up on Wikipedia, I have never found inaccurate information. Now, I'm not saying that I'm doing Wikipedia searches, you know, 200 a day or anything like that, but mm-hmm. I've also discovered, especially building this radio station, when I needed some information on, say, a song, one of the best places to find it is on Wikipedia. Mm. You're looking for a particular song, you'll usually find it on Wikipedia. Then you find what album it came from. You'll find the date it was released, because normally that's what I do is I'll go look up and say, what year was such and such song released? And it's usually a Wikipedia article that gives me that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been accurate every bit of the time. And of course, it gives me nice little juicy tidbits. If I want to talk about the artist, I can do like voice tracking or whatever on the radio station for those songs. But yeah, Grok, the only thing that I like about Grok is the fact that it's like a petulant child that Musk can't seem to control, because every time he turns around, whenever somebody asks, is he right about something? Grok says, no, he's absolutely wrong about this. And every time that happens, he's like, oh, we've got to go get some of the propaganda out of Grok and all this other kind of stuff. And then they tweak it. And then somebody will ask on X, they'll ask Grok something that Musk has said. Is this true? And Grok will come back again and say, no, it is not. Elon Musk is wrong. He cannot get his own damn AI child to basically simp for him.
Well, I haven't seen those, but I have seen that like half of his tweets lately have community notes.
Oh, yeah.
And I go, yeah, that checks out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Grokopedia is an AI generated online encyclopedia developed by XAI. The site is in its beta stage, which is launched on October 27, which is 2 days ago.
2 days ago, yeah.
I said it was 2 days old.
Mm-hmm.
I was joking.
Oh, I
wasn't joking. Entries in Grokopedia are created and edited by the Grok language model. So the exact process behind it, the exact process behind its content generation is not entirely known.
Mm.
Many articles are derived from Wikipedia articles, with some articles copied nearly verbatim at launch. Articles cannot be directly edited, though logged in visitors to the encyclopedia can suggest edits via a pop-up form for reporting wrong information. As of October 28, 2025, that was yesterday. The site states to have nearly 900,000 articles. Musk positioned Grokopedia.
He probably propositioned it too.
I wasn't there. As an alternative to Wikipedia, so fucking stupid. What? You guys know what the prefix wiki means?
I'm drawing a blank.
It's like community.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I think
yeah.
It's like a Pacific Islander Hawaiian word.
Okay.
Wiki. Yeah.
Wiki wow. Wiki wiki wow.
It's either community or quick. Anyway, so just nothing wrong with Wikipedia.
Yeah.
All that fucking left-leaning community encyclopedia? What? Globally editable?
Yeah, I mean, what's...
I'm sure there's bias, but it's explained.
Yeah.
It's biased both ways.
Yeah.
In a lot of parts. And I don't read politics. I just read something that's interesting. Did you know?
Fast in Hawaiian. Okay.
I looked it up too.
And
it meaning quick, but we've apparently morphed it into implying collaborative, crowdsource, or fast paced.
Okay, so I was right both times.
Yeah.
So
that's how language works.
One thing that Wikipedia taught me, and this was going to be in my weird file, but this is really quick. Buffalo, 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 buffalo is a grammatically correct English sentence.
Okay.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thank you. Now I'm going to have to
shit up on Grokopedia. Probably hasn't copied that one yet.
I'm going to have to. I'm going to have to chew on that one now. How many buffalo can a buffalo buffalo if a buffalo buffalo is buffalo? Anyway. Yep. Wow. Okay. Well, we did not have Grokopedia in the show notes, but now we've covered it. And yes, currently it says 885,279 articles available. It's at Grokopedia.com.
Oh, and I was just purposely blasphemous just now.
Were you?
What I was reading is the Wikipedia article on Grokopedia. I forgot to say that. That was the joke.
That was funny. Go to Wikipedia to find out. Get the lowdown on your competition.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next up, more kind of AI stuff. GM plans to launch Eyes Off Driving, Google AI, and other new in-vehicle tech by 2028.
For fuck's sake.
So GM has unveiled major software and an AI roadmap at its GM Ford event. They're outlining new vehicle technologies through 2028. Their key initiatives are Google Gemini AI Assistant will be launching in vehicles in 2026. It's going to enable natural conversational interaction with drivers. Like, I really need to talk to my fucking car. Eyes Off self-driving system debuting in 2028 on the Cadillac Escalade IQ EV. Using LiDAR for full environmental sensing. Well, at least they're doing the right thing. They're using LiDAR. A new centralized computing platform arriving the same year, starting with the Escalade IQ, to power advanced AI and autonomy. AI vision, cars that know you and anticipate your needs, with GM also developing its own in-house AI assistant for future integration.
Pass.
So basically, they're going to start off with Gemini, and then they're going to eventually shit can that and have their own baked in.
And fall off a cliff.
Probably fall off a cliff.
This is what car companies do all the dang time. There's literally a historical record of we're using your technology because we hear it's good. We don't like your technology being in our car. We want all the money. We're going to make our own. And it's always horrible, usually.
Yes. I would like to point you to Ford and Microsoft Sync, which is in my damn 2013 Ford Focus, which doesn't work worth a fuck.
Mine tends to work. Maybe yours just hates you. I don't know.
Well, let's just put it this way. It is nowhere near Android Auto or CarPlay in its capabilities. And about probably 5 years ago, the microphone in my car started intermittently not working. So I'd go to talk to it or something and it'd be like, I'm sorry, I did not get that. And I'm like, no shit. Or I'd answer the phone because, you know, I had my phone connected via Bluetooth. Mm-hmm. I'd answer the phone and I'd say hello. And they'd go, hello. I said, hello. They're like, hello, anybody there? They couldn't hear me. So when I got my new phone, when I got the 16 last year, I didn't bother resyncing. Mm-hmm. My phone is not connected to that shit in that car. Microsoft Sync is one of the worst damn pieces of software ever put in a vehicle.
You said 2013?
Yeah.
Isn't that back when Windows Phone was, they were pushing Windows Phone?
Probably. I think it was around about time.
So probably around 2015, they just kind of gave it up.
Which Windows Phone, to be fair, was a good operating system.
Yeah. So they just abandoned it.
Yeah. Now their early versions, like 2007, 2008, 2009, somewhere in there. Yeah, it was crap. But when they started getting that whole square look and they were making those couple of phones, those look really good. They were fast, responsive.
They fucked up Windows 8 for that reason.
Yeah, exactly. That's the reason why you wound up with Windows 8.
We'll just make these the same.
Yeah. Yeah, let's not. All right. So in 2026, customers can lease the company's energy home system, including bidirectional EV charging and stationary home batteries. Leasing begins with GM EV owners, then opens to their homeowners for solar and backup power integration. Boy, they're not only doing cars. GM's
almost like they're a car company that makes EVs and solar and battery storage for the home. What a fucking novel idea.
I know, right? Let's see. Who else does this?
Some Chinese company.
I think there's a company called Tesla. Yeah, I think they do it. Tesla.
Yeah.
So GM software services revenue reached $2 billion in Q3 of 2025 with $5 billion in deferred revenue, which is up 90% year over year.
Software service?
Yeah.
OnStar?
I don't know, but they've got an IT division up in North Georgia that they're closing. They're losing about 350 folks up there are going to lose their jobs. GM president Mark, I don't know how you say his name. Just Mark. Revenue growth. Goals remain on track, emphasizing these are real near market products. Real near market products. I like that. Unlike past canceled ventures, Ultra Cruise, Cruise Robo Taxi, for example, a CEO Mary Barrow says these moves mark a new era of mobility, transforming vehicles into transport tools into intelligent assistants. The Cadillac Escalade IQEV is good God almighty. Starts around $127,500. It'll be the first to feature the eyes off tech. You know what else makes it eyes off tech for me? The fucking price. I'm not even looking at it.
Well,
good God.
When is that for 28?
I think 28.
Yeah, so that's going to be 152 by then.
By then, yeah. As far as their competition, GM's Vision Pro-like tech rollout comes as Samsung preps its Project Muhan XR headset, offering parallel innovation in smart tech ecosystems. Wow. Way to go, GM.
Like, if I walk away from my truck while it's running and CarPlay's playing a song,
mm-hmm.
I go too far away, I come back, it doesn't reconnect on its own. I get driving down the road and I go, what? I can't play my music. Oh, phone's not connected. I have to stop, pull over, turn the thing off, open a door so the radio shuts off, close the door, restart the truck.
Are you serious?
It's probably not every time, but I had to do it this weekend.
Wow.
I went in the store, left the girls in the car,
mm-hmm.
came back out, hit the road. Like, where's phone's my, not pairing. I can't.
Where my music?
So I
can't listen to that sweet, sweet South Geek podcast.
No, it was TLC. We were going to see a waterfall.
Oh.
So.
Yeah.
TLC.
Right.
There you go.
Very nice.
All right. Amazon reveals a 960 megawatt nuclear power plans to cope with AI demand. Richland, Washington site tapped for deployment of XE-100 small modular reactors. You know what I'd like to have at my house? A small modular reactor.
I'd one about the size of my iPhone.
Yeah.
Could run the neighborhood.
Exactly.
Why don't we just do that? Just
we should.
Pick some responsible person in the neighborhood and go, this is your responsibility.
Yeah. keep bringing water to it. No. Amazon announced plans for their 960 megawatt modular nuclear power campus, the Cascade Advanced Energy Facility in Richland, Washington, near the Columbia Generating Station. Developed in partnership with Energy Northwest and X Energy, using XE-100 small modular reactors, also known as SMRs, rated at 80 megawatts each. The initial phase will be four reactors producing 320 megawatts with expansion potential to 12 reactors, which will give them the 960 megawatt total. Their goal is for supply of carbon-free electricity for AWS data centers and AI infrastructure, because they've got to address the skyrocketing energy demands from generative AI workloads. All they got to do, you know what? If they keep making DNS configuration problems, they don't have to, they don't have to worry about needing extra power. I mean, because their data centers aren't fucking working.
No, it's a contingency. I mean, this is all a ruse. The nuclear power is not for the data center.
Oh, really?
It's for the fucking DNS.
That's that's it.
They need rock solid DNS.
Apparently, so does Microsoft.
About 40,000 DNS servers. There's just one server. Like, it's a cluster of 40,000.
Yeah.
Just make sure one of them stays up.
Yeah, that's it. That's all we need. Just
you
got, one.
You need six nines, man. Six nines.
The timeline: construction is targeted for late 2020s, power generation in the 2030s, pending regulatory approval and financing. X Energy's XE100 is still under NRC pre-application review. No construction permits yet issued. Amazon invested in X Energy via its Climate Pledge Fund and previously bought land near a Pennsylvania nuclear plant, but Cascade marks its first direct nuclear project. The venture may test whether SMRs can deliver on promises of faster, modular, cost-efficient nuclear deployment for data and AI infrastructure. NuScale's Idaho SMR project collapsed in 2023 due to rising costs and lost backers, and U.S. data center energy demand could triple by 2030, potentially reaching 9% of national electricity use by 2035. And Amazon's move signals a strategy to secure its own zero-carbon power supply for the AI era. Okay. You know what? I'm fine with this. I'm fine with this. I've always been a supporter of nuclear energy.
Yeah.
I've always been a supporter of solar, wind, hydro, anything other than sucking oil out of the ground or digging up coal and burning it and killing the planet. So if this is what it takes, because AI is not going away, and we're building data centers left and right, except for, you know, places where they go to try to build them and the citizenry is like, fuck no, not here, because they don't want it in their backyard. And they know that their power bills are going to start going up. We got that problem here in Georgia. I mean, that's the reason why it's so important to vote by November 4th for the public service commissioners, the two that are on the ballot for Georgia. Because right now it's all 100% Republican. And, well, they just let Georgia Power do what Georgia Power wants to do. That's your political PSA for today.
Okay. The only marketing I've seen from the other side is lower your power bill, vote for us. That's it.
If that was the case, they'd already be lower.
No, I mean, what? They want me to vote them in just to lower my power bill? I'm sure there's plenty of other shit they can do, but they're going to focus on what my power bill is?
You haven't seen the video that Hank Green did, have you?
I'm not a person of media.
Okay. I need to share that with you, because I actually put that out in a Tifton Talks newsletter, and I was trying to be apolitical about it, but he does make the point that even though he lives in Montana, this is a very important decision for Georgians, because of the fact that right now that commission is 100% one party. So these two positions, we need better balance, because our power bills keep going up. So anywho, oh, we did have the one for Grok in here. Yeah. I forgot it was in here.
We did. That's why I was, what it is, the, I thought, did the man have,
I've been vindicated,
amnesia or something?
I did.
Okay.
Who are you? What am I doing here? Why am I at this table?
The thing that seriously went through my head was, I went, oh, did my Google spreadsheet not refresh? I thought he might have deleted it. Yeah, I thought so too. That's what I thought might have happened. Like,
I literally forgot that I had put it in here, which is wild. Well, there's not much more in this one than what we've already talked about. Yeah,
there's no reason to revisit.
There's none.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only been 10 minutes.
Yeah,
it's true.
It's no different.
Next year.
This one made me chuckle. Man alarmed to discover his smart vacuum was broadcasting a secret map of his house. So programmer, yes, I am not even going to attempt to bastardize his name.
This fella.
He discovered his iLife A11, which I'm not familiar with this brand, smart vacuum, was secretly transmitting 3D maps of his home and other telemetry data to overseas servers without consent. After monitoring its network traffic, he found a steady stream of outbound data to the manufacturer halfway across the world. And when he blocked the data transmission, the vacuum soon stopped working, repeatedly dying after repair attempts. Upon teardown, he found Android debug bridge ADB left wide open, giving full root access with no security barriers. The vacuum ran Google Cartographer, an open source mapping tool to create and upload detailed 3D maps of his home to the company's servers. He also found a remote kill command sent at the moment the device stopped functioning. Restoring the code brought the vacuum instantly back to life. So the bottom line, the company had the ability to remotely disable devices seemingly as punishment or enforcement for blocking data collection. And he warns many smart vacuums and IoT devices may operate similarly, turning consumer gadgets into potential surveillance tools. And his takeaway is connected devices trade convenience for privacy and manufacturers can weaponize remote control over consumer tech. And of course, not exactly the same thing, but the hilarity of AWS going down and all of those fucking cloud connected beds,
the eight sleep beds.
People were getting overheated or they were in an inclined position, upright position, whatever, and they couldn't get them to go down.
I had to sleep on the couch because the internet was out.
Yes.
Because DNS.
DNS, exactly. DNS, bork your damn bed. Oh, goodness. Yeah, there's, this is where, if Tyler were here, he'd probably have an entire diatribe on cloud-connected devices and how he hates them. He's like, I'm okay with devices connecting to the cloud. What I'm not okay with is that being a requirement that they cannot operate without that connection.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think I've talked about it before. I think it's Govee or whatever I have in here for these lights. You know, when the internet's out, I can still turn them on and off from my phone, but the scheduling doesn't work. The scheduling is actually done in the cloud. So the times we've had internet issues last year and earlier this year, I'd walk out here and I didn't have lights because they didn't turn on automatically.
Why would they ever put something time sensitive on
in the cloud?
The connection to which isn't that stable.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how else they would do it. Unless it had to be controlled by my phone. But otherwise, you got to have a little device here that could do it.
Yeah, I've got this. I use Samsung SmartThings.
Yeah.
I think I've had that same hub over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
It stores the scheduling on the device.
Yeah. Mm. That makes sense.
So,
you know, and they.
Yeah, same with my Hue bulbs, I think. It's in the little bridge that you buy with them. Mm-hmm. I think it stores all that stuff there. Cause I've, even whenever the internet's been out, still seen the schedules happen. So.
Yeah. See, that makes sense. But these are little one-off little Chinese things that cost like 10.
They're designed to directly connect to the cloud. There's no compute on there.
Yeah. And I mean, as long as my phone is on the same network with them, I can turn them on and I turn them off.
Like, well, but really how much more memory does a schedule take? It can connect to a network, so it's got
why can't it store it in it?
It's got some sort of basic operating system.
Yeah, it's got to have.
I mean,
maybe some version of Linux or Android or something.
Leaving Cron in there is not going to kill it.
I know.
Leave Cron in light bulb.
I mean, even the Wyze light bulbs I have, on the south side and the west side of this building right here, mm-hmm. they're on a schedule. They're set to, they track like the sun.
Yeah.
So when the sun comes up in the morning, sunrise, they go off, sunset, yeah. they come on. They're borked if there's no internet. They'll stay on past sunrise and I have to manually turn them off. So yeah, it's weird. Local connectivity from my phone, I can turn the things on and off, but any schedules, because none of the stuff I have has like the little bridge or anything or mm-hmm. a controller. Uh-huh. It's all done in the cloud. And so I lose the internet connection. None of my scheduling works. Mm. And the one thing that's even pissier is if I lose internet connection, I cannot control my Honeywell thermostats. There is no local connection between my phone and the app on it and them. When I make a change in that app, it hits the cloud and then sends a signal back down to the Honeywell, which is the reason why they're very, very difficult to use in Home Assist.
Hmm. I just use the Resideo app.
I do too.
I don't think I've connected it to anything else.
But the Resideo app will not control the thermostats.
Oh, I know.
Without the internet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying. I don't have it integrated into anything else.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons why I played around with Home Assist, and then I looked them up. They were like, yeah, there's some funky workarounds to try to get it to work, but they literally stay in contact with the cloud. So when you execute a command on your phone or Home Assist, it has to go out mm-hmm. and then send it back down.
Well, when I replace the thermostats, it won't be those.
I found a brand. I cannot remember, but they're like 2 times the cost, but they look cool.
How often do you have to buy a thermostat?
Once. I mean, even if I get the air handler changed out, I'm using the same thermostat because I don't let them put in one.
But when it comes to it, you want this $50, I need the cloud thermostat, or a $100, what the fuck you want, thermostat?
It's more like the $120, I need the cloud, and the $250, I can do whatever the fuck I want.
The Nest thermostat was $250 when it hit shelves.
Yeah.
The people just ran off with them.
I know.
I never.
And now look at them. Yeah. Google pretty
Google
much.
Bought them.
Google bought them and then killed them.
Nest is dead? Or it's the Google thermostat now?
It's a Google thermostat, and there's some other things that they did to them that, like older models, no longer function or some crap like that, you know.
Yeah, I don't care for the whole Nest thing.
Yeah, me either.
My house is too big for it to tell whether somebody's home.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right. Is your Ultra, I found this really fascinating. Is your Ultra HD TV worth it?
This was almost a weird file to troll the living daylights out of you, but you found it. I went, darn it, now I can't do it. So yeah, go ahead. This is good. This is really good.
So scientists measure the resolution limit of the human eye. So a study from University of Cambridge and Meta Reality Labs finds a resolution limit to the human eye, meaning ultra high definition screens like 4K or 8K often exceed what people can actually perceive. For an average living room setup, which is around 2.5 meter viewing distance of a 44-inch screen, 4K or 8K offers no visible improvement over Quad HD, also known as QHD. Researchers measured vision using pixels per degree, also known as PPD, which is how many pixels fit into 1 degree of your field of view, instead of the total screen resolution. So your traditional 20/20 vision assumes 60 PPD, but tests found the true limit is higher. If you're looking at grayscale, it's 94 PPD. Red and green colors are 89 PPD. Yellow and violet are 53 PPD. So the results show the eye resolves fewer details in color, especially in peripheral vision, because the brain fills in missing detail from lower quality input. So the implication of this is that beyond a certain point, extra pixels waste cost, energy, and processing power without visible benefit. So they created a free online calculator so that you can go there, put in the screen size, your room dimensions, and resolution to find the optimal display setup. These findings, which were published in Nature Communications 2025, guide display makers toward practical retinal resolution targets for TVs, AR/VR, and mobile screens. So there's no need to go out and buy that 55-inch 8K television, because you can't see 8 fucking K.
Also, mm-hmm. I don't shop for Blu-rays very often.
Yeah.
Or at all. I've never seen an 8K Blu-ray. Like, What video is displayed in 8K?
I don't think they make them yet.
What's the point of having an 8K display if nothing is broadcast or recorded? And
well, you're in that zone, just kind of like what we were when we went from 1080p to 4K.
Yeah,
it was like, okay, we got all these, you know, flashy new 4K televisions that cost three times what they should because it's new technology. Hmm. And it's like, yay, I got it, but I can't watch, you know, my 1080p still looks crappy on it. You know, so, which, I mean, we've got a 4K, 55-inch Samsung in our bedroom. And honestly, watching 1080p content on it and then watching a 4K, say, like Netflix stream or Disney stream or something, it's really difficult for me to tell the difference. So
I can see the difference just in the little glimmers.
Well, if it's blacks, I can, but like the background.
Like the chrome shining, the sun shining off the chrome on a vehicle that's down the road. Just the little things like that. Oh, yeah, that's not in the other one.
But is it worth it? That's the question.
I don't know. Well, see, these 8K displays, be totally worth it to me because it will half the cost of a 4K display. And right now, a 4K projector that I need is like $2,200.
That's a projector.
You've never been to my house.
No, I haven't.
I'll show you my main TV.
Okay. I have a friend that I don't know what he has now, but in 2014 or 2015, he had a projector in his viewing room, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the Marvel movies he showed in, it was Blu-ray. And I was impressed. I was like, yeah, I can sit down and watch this, but I still prefer, I want a TV. I don't want to project it on a screen. I want a TV because I have yet to find a projector, though I have not, to be fair, I haven't really looked for them. But most projectors I see seem to be washed out or you have to make sure that your room is completely dark, like you're in a movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the reason why I've never really cared for projectors, but I could be persuaded, I suppose.
I'll show you my setup.
All right.
Now we need to create us a new company. We'll make 8K televisions. I already have the name of the company. We'll call it Placebo. and we will convince people that no, they do in fact see good quality on our televisions. We'll make a fortune. We'll never have to work it again a day in our life.
You'll never know that it's 8K.
Yeah. Trust us.
Because it's like 4.5K.
Trust us.
God, I've got to make a swerve video difference. Later now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I forget what iPhone it was. They introduced this super dense display and they call it the Retina.
The Retina display, yeah.
And it's because that's basically the maximum resolution that the Retina can see. And I thought, okay.
Yeah.
And so when people said, you don't need anything higher than 4K, I was like, yeah, you're probably right. Like, I don't think I can see any more detail than that.
Yeah.
But I do know that there's probably a case for shooting in 8K.
Oh, yeah.
So you can zoom in as far as you want and maintain
the
4K density. So, but an 8K display seems like, yeah, please go buy them. Mm-hmm. It's just going to take the cost of my 4K projector down.
Yeah. I have one 4K TV and the rest of them are 1080p.
My screen, oddly enough, I think, rated for 5K.
Now it sounds like Apple because they came out with those 5K displays.
I never knew it.
Yeah. I think that's what it was.
I thought, all right, I'll get this one because if I somehow stumble upon a suitcase with full of cash, I can get a 4K projector and I won't have to change the screen.
A suitcase full of cash that you don't turn in to the police.
Well, who would you?
Probably not.
No.
No.
I wouldn't.
I'd hang on to it for at least a year. Just store it somewhere.
I wouldn't be throwing red flags up at the IRS. I'm just saying, no, I wouldn't. I would, even if asked, I would go, no, man, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I have no clue what you're talking about. Never saw it. All right. last article before we get into the, you do have a weird file, right?
I do.
All right. Last one. And this one was so apropos because I just watched about half from about the middle to the end of Minority Report Sunday. So these are the traits most likely to make you a killer, according to police AI. So the UK government is developing a homicide prediction project AI tool to identify individuals at high risk of committing murder, echoing Minority Report-style predictive policing. Algorithms already used globally for crime prediction, such as Compass and Predpol, Precobs, but they all face criticism for bias, inaccuracy, and lack of transparency. And psychological risk factors AI systems could use are the dark triad traits: psychopathy, narcissism, Machiavellianism, tied to aggression, manipulation, and lack of empathy. Psychopathy, especially linked to repeat violent crimes, 15 to 25% of male prisoners meet the criteria. Narcissistic rage may trigger violent outbursts when ego or status is threatened. Sam, do you know how to say that? Alexithymia?
That's probably how I would say it.
Okay.
Too.
Which is the inability to identify or express emotions, and mental disorders like schizophrenia or paranoia may also raise the risk. Substance abuse, social isolation, deprivation are key environmental contributors. AI in policing. Cambridge researcher Superlearner AI correctly identified 78% of domestic violent cases that escalated to homicide. The UK system would combine criminal records, mental health, addiction, and disability data, raising ethical and privacy concerns. You think? So, of course, here are the criticisms and the biases. Experts warn that such tools could reinforce systemic racism and discriminate against marginalized groups. Professor Gerd Gigerinzer? Okay. Max Planck Institute calls predictive algorithms even more biased than regular people and notes no proven success in predicting human behavior. Complex AI models often underperform simpler methods and risk becoming opaque black boxes. Refer back to one of the other stories, Garbage In, Garbage Out. Police experience departments like the LAPD have abandoned predictive policing after false positives and eroded public trust. No shit. What are the alternatives? We have threat assessment models such as TRAP-18, Path to Intended Violence, rely on human experts focusing on behaviors and intent rather than static data, addressing root causes like poverty and trauma and lack of mental health care may prevent violence more effectively. The AI can flag risk patterns, but it cannot reliably predict murders. Human behavior remains too complex, situational, and unpredictable for full automation. I agree. And I mean, this had Minority Report just screaming all over it when I come across this article. I don't like this.
Can you imagine how many people might go to jail the next time AWS has a DNS catastrophe?
I know, right? It's just because DNS is down and now the AI can't, because it's running on their servers, right? And it,
like, police freeze while they're chasing somebody and shit. Oh, God. Also, there shouldn't be any privacy concerns, because honestly, I'm not going to trust it until you tell me how many episodes of Criminal Minds it's watched.
Exactly.
That's going to determine whether I'm confident, because I've seen nearly every episode of Air Disasters, and I can tell you if it's a crash,
mm-hmm,
or a conspiracy.
Hmm. That's
yeah, I am a,
that's concerning.
I'm a self-proclaimed expert.
So they could train on your data. Yeah, let's
yeah,
give them all,
just let episodes, it watch Criminal Minds.
Yeah, all episodes of Criminal Minds, even the shitty first couple of seasons,
and even NCIS, because there's a lot of that.
Yeah, but they don't really do profiling in NCIS. The whole point of Criminal Minds is the BAU. They do the behavior analysis. So, yeah.
And I haven't seen all of that yet. So I'm not an expert yet.
Yet.
You know what sent red flags just totally just flare, just shot up in the air while you were reading through all that? The second that we got to mental disorders, I went, the heck you will. Because there's, you guys get to do IT rants all the time. Let the clinical mental health master student step up on my Apple box for a second and talk about how people look at mental health disorders, okay?
All right.
There is this very incredulously stupid stigma that a lot of diagnoses mean you're a dangerous person that could totally destroy people. Statistics-wise, and I wish I could quote the actual ones, but you guys trust me. I'm not one of those people that just BS statistics off the top of my head. No, that is totally not the case. We have done studies on this, and that is not you being someone that has schizophrenia or something like that does not mean you are more likely to be a violent individual. That's BS. That's absolute BS. And it pisses me off anytime that I hear it, because there are like pop culture things, and you guys know me. I love watching pop culture and then kind of analyzing it from the different lenses and going, here's where they got it wrong on that end or that end, you know, and stuff like that. It's like a side hobby of mine for all this stuff. And the amount of times that like the criminal in the thing had a mental health disorder or something like that, that my head just goes slam right on the first surface that it sees.
Yeah. So Criminal Minds is out. Shit. We have to find new data. Oh God.
Because sometimes yes. But the problem is that like people assume it's all the times yes, instead of it being sometimes yes.
Yeah. Every time I see the issue. Every time I see somebody being profiled on the TV, it either has to do with schizophrenia or psychopathy.
Yeah, usually
half the time.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's it's just that like a person can go through their life with schizophrenia, and as far as we, and I'm going to put this in air quotes, you know, you can't see me doing it, so I'll tell the audio listeners, living a quote normal life with schizophrenia and everything, and people won't even know you have it. Like it's completely possible to do that through like therapy, medication, coping mechanisms, things like that, where you can totally get through that. Speaking of movies, if you've never seen the movie A Beautiful Mind, watch it. It's amazing for that particular topic with schizophrenia and everything.
I have
like
it if
that.
You want to borrow it.
I was going to say, I don't think I know about it, but yeah. I don't think I've actually seen it.
In my library.
Okay.
It's based on one of our most brilliant minds that ever existed who had schizophrenia. And because of it, he could see things differently than other people did. It was actually a superpower for him. But of course, then there's the other part of the scenario.
The people he saw who weren't really there.
Yes.
Game theory was his specialty.
It was. Yeah.
Something I can't understand.
Yeah, it's a fantastic movie. So check that out. But that's a good example of, you know, we kind of need to stop looking at people like they're dangerous and start looking at people like they're humans that are in pain and need help. And then I'll kick that soapbox away. I'm done.
Well, that also goes along the lines of how, not to get too winded on this subject, but the whole policing issue of, you know, they wanted to defund the police. Well, that was a misnomer. Nobody actually wanted to defund the police. What they wanted to do was reallocate resources differently and actually bring in like counselors and what have you, so that when you went out on a call, and they actually started showing this in some of the later seasons of cop shows like Blue Bloods and probably Law and Order and things like that, where the officers would get out there and they would have to make a determination. It's like, okay, this person may be mentally unstable. So then they call for the counselor to come out and try to de-escalate. Because otherwise, the cops are just probably going to wind up killing the person.
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
I think those funds would also go towards the community involvement.
Yeah.
And give teenagers a place to be.
Yeah. Well, we need third spaces.
Yeah.
We just don't have a lot of them anymore. We need
communities too.
Yeah, I agree.
I'll say AI has its place, but it is not a replacement for anybody. It's an assistant. It's there to just add to the team.
Tell Amazon that. As they just let go of 14,000 people, corporate people, and then they're saying they're going to do another layoff or what have you in 2026. And, you know, those might, and it's all because they can do everything more efficiently and cheaper because of the integration of AI into the systems.
They could have just done it with proper management.
Yeah, I know.
Hiring people who knew what they're doing.
I mean, the AI still need to be, they still have to have their hands held.
Yeah, but it can run and grab a bunch of articles for you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can analyze a video and go, hey, I think I found something.
Yeah. I mean, I use it as a tool. I don't use it as a replacement for somebody.
So last week, I remembered something about Demolition Man.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling my wife. And so I had to get it. So we watched it. And it was this, what was they call it? San Angeles? Because it was a merger.
It was, yeah, San Angeles. And, yeah, San Angeles. Cato.
And crime had gone like to zero. But if you look at the beginning of the movie, there's like 50 people in this one police room.
Yes.
Like, where are they getting the money to? Why do they need all these cops?
Yeah, if there's no, if there's no crime. I know, exactly. And not to mention that when they are actually faced with real crime,
yeah,
they don't know what to do.
They're like, what's a 187?
Yeah, a murder, death, kill. And then they're out there. This kills me. Then they're out there and it's like, the perpetrator says this. And then the AI is going, well, then tell them with a firmer voice.
Sternly.
Sternly. And I'm like, you about to get your ass stomped is what's going to happen.
But I think AI has its place to assist and help speed things up.
But not replace.
Right.
Exactly.
All right, Sam, it's time. We still need a jingle. I don't have one. Anyway.
Got to figure that software out.
I know, right? All right, Sam, give us the weird file.
Okay. Donovan, Ben, grab your slightly psychic press badges. We're time hopping. First stop. Paris, 1784. You smell that? Coffee and candle wax. A bespectacled diplomat named Benjamin Franklin just published a cheeky letter suggesting Parisians wake earlier to save on candles. No laws, no clock changing, just satire and a wink. File it under not an origin, but a spark. Now we're in Wellington, New Zealand, 1895. See the man with the specimen case over there? That's George Hudson, a postal clerk by day and insect hunter by dusk. He pitches a bold idea. Move the clocks forward to steal more evening light for, yeah, you guessed it, bug collecting. Sounds odd. But he plants the first true modern proposal. Pedal with me now to London in 1907. That brisk gent riding the bike over there before sunrise? That's William Winnett. He's furious that the city sleeps through bright mornings like this. He wants, quote, summertime by law. Parliament listens, then, like Parliament does, stalls. But Willett keeps pushing it until 1915. But history's about to give his idea teeth. Jump to Berlin, 1916. War is burning coal like kindling. Germany flips the nation's clocks forward to save fuel. In a flash, neighbors follow. British summertime launches. Even across the Atlantic, the United States signs on in 1918. What was once a quirky proposal becomes wartime policy. But if you want one of the first places to actually do it, peek earlier to Ontario in 1908. Port Arthur and Orillia quietly try seasonal clock shifts before the big powers make it fashionable. So guys, when people say, daylight saving time, wasn't that for farmers? You can say we were there. It wasn't Fields. It was Franklin's joke, Hudson's evenings, Willett's mornings, and a wartime coal situation that moved the hands of history. Are you guys ready to roll from myth to mechanics? We're talking about daylight saving time. So I figured it was appropriate for us to talk about that because by the time we come back, you guys, daylight saving time will actually be in effect. So why not talk about this thing? Most of the time people go, where'd this come from anyway? We'll look into it and find out. So daylight saving time, and yes, it is daylight saving time. I have a member of my family who will vociferously correct you if you say savings. So
I'm one of those too. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Anyway, so it did start with farmers or Franklin moving the clocks, which are like the two main things that people think it was.
Yeah.
But it was a 19th, 20th century push to, quote, save daylight, and then it spread fast into wartime. One time period I didn't take you guys to in that little trip. This started in ancient times, even. Seasonal time twinks aren't new. Ancient societies changed daily schedules with sunlight. Romans even adjusted water clocks with the season, but no one was moving the clock itself. It was just that they were adjusting the water clock's mechanics to where they would work a certain way, depending on it. So, like I said, in 1784, Benjamin Franklin wrote a satirical letter because he was a scamp. If you do not know what Franklin was doing in Paris, you need to look it up. It's fascinating. The man might be one of the earliest forms of what you could place the word playboy on. Let's put it that way.
It's true.
He was putting bags on heads.
Yes. Suggesting Parisians wake up earlier to save candles. He even joked about taxes on shutters and sunrise cannon blast. He didn't propose changing clocks, though. It was just, you know, satire. In 1895, the New Zealand entomologist George Hudson proposed advancing clocks by 2 hours in spring to gain evening daylight, motivated by after-work insect collecting. Interest grew, but no one really fell for it. In 1907, the English builder William Windlett independently pitches British summertime after noticing that Londoners were sleeping through bright mornings. A bill reached Parliament in 1908. He lobbied for this until his death in 1915. So that if you've ever heard of someone being a single issue voter, he is the he is the pinnacle of single issue voter right there.
I'm trying to get this legislation passed for 20 years and on his deathbed, did we get the vote? No.
Exactly. In 1908, like I said, Port Arthur, Ontario, now Thunder Bay, by the way, becomes the first city to actually enact the ST, followed by Orillia in Ontario. But in 1916, Germany and Austria-Hungary, because they were friends back then, adapt daylight savings time nationally to conserve coal in World War I. The UK, many allies, and several neutrals follow soon after. And then the United States finally got it in 1918. By the way, interestingly enough, many countries dropped daylight savings time after World War I. Some of them kept it, and then it returned wildly in World War II. Some even used double summertime as a thing. And later on, it became standardized in the U.S. with the Uniform Time Act of 1966.
Mm-hmm.
So, contrary to the enduring myth, daylight savings time wasn't created for farmers or farm groups historically. For farmers, in fact, farm groups historically opposed it because farm schedules follow the sun, not the clock.
Right.
So, that's daylight saving time. That's everything I could dig up about it. So, time that you're there, you can be pedantic now.
What I find ironic, the irony here, is that you would bring this one up as the weird file. And of course, as we are saying, this weekend, we fall back. At the bottom of tomorrow's Tifton Talks newsletter, I have an article. The U.S. tried permanent daylight saving time and hated it. So back in 1974, the U.S. tried making daylight saving time permanent and it didn't go well. President Richard Nixon introduced year-round DST to save energy during the oil crisis, but within months, public support collapsed as Americans faced dark winter mornings and safety concerns for kids heading to school before sunrise. Congress repealed the policy just weeks after Nixon resigned. Decades later, of course, debate continues. While some politicians still push for permanent sunshine, scientists say sticking with standard time would be healthier, reducing risk of obesity, stroke, and sleep disruption tied to our natural circadian rhythms. And for the state of Georgia, and I'm trying to make sure I get this right. If I'm wrong, I apologize. But we have passed a law in Georgia that would set us on DST permanently. But because of the uniform time Kodak.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. If a state decides to stay on standard time, they don't have to get approval from the government. But if they want to go to DST full time, they have to get approval from the government, from the federal government. It's weird. And I'm pretty sure I got that right. I think it's standard time. You don't have to get approval. But if you want to stick to 20, you know, year round DST, then you have to get federal government approval, which is the reason why we still flip flop here in Georgia.
Yeah, DST is not a thing in Arizona.
Yeah, it's Arizona. I was trying to think. I was like, I thought Arkansas. Funny. Where does my friend live? It's Arizona.
I woke up at the Grand Canyon because we slept in a tent in the back of the truck with no cover on it.
Yeah.
So I wake up and the sky is bright.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, whoa, must have got good sleep. I look at my watch. It's 5:45 in the morning. And I think it's the altitude. Sun comes up a little earlier there, but that was cool.
It's the same problem that Tyler has in Seattle, is the fact that as we're, especially with this time change,
mm-hmm.
it'll be dark, like nighttime at 4 o'clock for him.
Yeah.
Which he then he has to deal with seasonal depression.
Yeah.
Because it's always dark around there. Mm-hmm. And then the sun starts coming up at like 4:30 in the morning and some shit. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a smaller circle up there.
Yeah.
Because the earth is round.
Yeah. Contrary to some dumbasses, yes, it is round. It is not flat.
God, I got to get you to read that book. I swear.
Hey, you guys want to get together and go to a flat earth conference? I have always wanted to just to go there. Just to people watch.
You two would be the jerks, and then I would be the one
I wouldn't get
a case study.
I wouldn't.
Like, I would be one. So how did you come to this? You know, I would be treating them like respectfully and everything like that. Donovan would be like, you're a dumbass. How'd you get here?
Yeah. My exact phrase would be, you're a special kind of stupid, aren't you?
What? He's in the hotel with everybody of his kind. And wouldn't that be a thing to watch?
To look at an entire group of a special kind of stupid?
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
I like people watching.
How I put it, but yes. That's...
I like people watching because people are stupid.
Yeah, they are.
But when you get the same kind of wrong belief in one room,
yeah,
God, it's got to be amazing.
It's amazing and scary.
I even have moments where I'm like, no, I agree with these people. But it's interesting, not those, but yeah. I mean other moments.
Right.
I realized how that could have sounded, so I had to clarify. But I was like, I have been in moments, and I'm, to be politic, I am not going to mention who these people are, but people that I completely agreed with and went, God, I am not groupthink at all, am I? Like, there's so many things of like, where it's like, oh, that person's talking about that person, and that person's talking about that person. Meanwhile, I'm just... I don't care.
You ever go to an IT conference, you'll think you're in a room with people you would have something in common with.
Your peers. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
Oh, academia is the most backstabby thing you've ever heard in your life. And I'm like, we're supposed to be learning. What's going on? Like, that for an entire conference I went to once, I kept on making fun of people and going, what is wrong with you people? Like, and I was the person just saying that the entire conference, and they were like, oh, this is what we do. I'm like, but why? Like,
well, Sam, it's all the wokeness and the DEI.
Did you throw up a little bit when you said that?
Yep. Yep. And on that note, we're going to get out of here. So, Sam, when you're not giving us weird files and hanging out and talking tech, where can people find you online?
Well, you can find me online. My content, once it gets booted back up again, once I have a freaking mixer, will be at tscn.tv. And you can find me on all the places, including Sora, if you happen to be on that. Twitter/X, don't care. Instagram, TikTok, Twitch, TSCN Sam.
Cool. Ben?
I'm on Zitter at 42 flows.
Mm-hmm. Is that the only one?
And Instagram, my username is my that looks tasty.
And it does.
And it does.
Fucking and right, it does.
Yes,
usually,
it does.
Usually is tasty.
Yeah. I like all the pizzas.
I'm on a pizza kick.
Yeah, I noticed.
Yeah.
I noticed.
a pizza oven, game changer.
I would imagine. Mm. I would imagine. Is it, I mean, is it like an outside, yeah. inside?
It's outside,
an
outside? The Blackstone.
Ah.
Ooh. Nice.
It's made in China, but it was on clearance.
Yeah.
And like proper clearance price.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was originally between $400 and $500.
Mm-hmm.
And I got it for $181.
Nice.
Hot dang.
And I thought, you know, I had a birthday earlier. That shit's mine.
Yeah, I hear you. If you're like me, it's like, I had a birthday 6 months ago, so this is
what yourself. I was missing.
Yeah. This is what I was missing. Well, you can find everything about me at DonovanEdKissen.com. You just go there, and I've got all the links to the shows and social media and all of that good stuff. We would also like you to support the show. I have decided to open up Patreon again. So I took one of my already existing Patreon accounts and changed it up. So you can show your support for South Geek News on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/South Geek. Just a measly $6 per month will get you the episodes without ads. And you'll possibly get some outtakes and whatnot that don't make it into the main show. If you have questions or comments, the email address is podcast@southgeeknews.com. And if you want to lend your voice to the show, go to southgeeknews.com/voicemail on any device that has a microphone, like your smartphone, your laptop, etc. And let us know what you think about the show, the topics, the hosts. We promise we won't kill Sam. Anyway, that's going to be it for us, for myself, for Ben and Sam. This has been South Geek News. We hope you have a wonderful next week or two. Don't forget to change your clocks back on Sunday morning, 2 a.m.
Get your coats out.
Get your coats out. It's gotten chilly down here. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Take care. Bye-bye. This has been a production of Tifton Media Works. Check out all our podcasts by visiting TiftonMediaWorks.com.